Well, who's ready for the Word?
Yes.
Amen? That is our cue. You know, we're starting our new, system, videography. And so that's my cue to Kelvin to say, let's go live. But anyways, we're going live. Thank you, thank you, thank you for coming out to Christian Growth Center. How many know that this is Christian Growth Center?
Yes.
You know what that means? We expect you to grow when you come here. We want you to grow up in the things of God. Grow up into your understanding of your righteousness in Christ. And we sow seeds of faith here. And then when you grow up in those seeds and we see fruition coming in your life, then you go out and you share that with the world wherever you go. So we say welcome to you as you join us here and online. And one last announcement I wanted to save for when we went live is it's a very special day for someone very special to me and all of you. It is Pastor Rob Sal's birthday today. So we say happy birthday, Pastor Rob. You are so loved. You are so wonderful. We appreciate your life, your ministry, what you have spoken into our lives. And so I say, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Rob. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, sir. I hope he's watching. I hope you left that reverb on my mic, too. Well, glory. Let's get into this today. Listen, I wanted to just kind of recap what we've been talking about. For some of y'all that haven't been here, we've been talking about a lot of different things. We're talking about the fruit of the Spirit and how that creates a foundation for the gifts of the Spirit to operate in our life. And then we were talking about how we should live soberly with an eternity in view, with eternity in view. When we have eternity in view, it helps us live our life a certain way here on earth. Amen?
Amen.
And I shared this, be directed, don't be distracted. How easy it is to be distracted in these days. Don't get caught up in all the minutiae of everything going on around you. You like that word? That's a real word. That is a real word. I didn't even make that one up. Minutiae. I'm going to say it again. Minutiae. Don't get caught up in all the, what does it mean? Just the little fine details that bog you down on a regular basis. Man, we got to understand these, but we can't get so caught up in the details that we lose sight of the big picture. The big picture is eternity. The big picture is you're going to be with Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, forever and ever. The big picture is if you don't receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell and you're going to spend your life down there forever and ever.
Amen.
Yeah?
Yes.
Hell is real, people.
Yes, it is.
It's a real place. And you're going to be there forever if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so there's an urgency for these last days. And that's what I love about prophecy and prophetic insight when things are coming to light that we see that are going to be happening is because it creates this urgency in me. And I hope that it does to you too. And I want to stir you up today in this urgency to reach out to people. An urgency to reach out to people.
Yeah.
To share Christ with them, because if not, if they don't know Him, they're going to a place that is not good. I mean, can you torment, eternal torment? You can't even think up in your mind the level of torment that will be suffered in that place for eternity. And we blow it off. I'm telling you, I know y'all don't believe this, but I was a heathen at one time. And I can remember, listen, I can remember seeds being planted in my life that I didn't even know at the time were seeds. People that knew Jesus and they knew I didn't. And they would share things and I just, you know, I wasn't about it. I didn't want to have nothing to do with it. And it was a sense of pride in me that I was going to hell. That's a real thing. I know some of you holy folks that, you know, have known Jesus since you came out of the womb can't understand that maybe. But there was a sense of pride in me that I was going to hell. Can you believe that? And there are people all over the land that feel that way, that have that sense about them. And we have an answer that can change that. Someone shared with me and it changed me. Someone invited me to church and it changed my life. And I'm not saying that you have to invite them to church. That'd be great. This is a great place. We share the word. But you have that word on the inside of you to share with them that could deliver their soul from that place, that pit of torment, gnashing of teeth. And oh, it's a real place. And we ought to get real about it in understanding that it is real. We don't want anyone. We would hope that not one would perish. Amen? So don't be distracted by the minutia. All right? Keep the big picture in mind. Keep the big picture in mind. Keep eternity in mind. And let it guide you. Let it guide your decisions. Let it guide the speech. Let it guide how you share. Let it guide your life that with eternity in mind. And you got to do your part. I wrote down, you got to do your part. You got to pray. You got to vote. You got to trust God. You got to hear. But you have to speak as well. Amen? Well, glory to God. That's sermon number one. We're going to get to the rest of it. And I got 8 more pages for y'all today. Just quickly in review, we were talking about, we were getting into the gifts of the Spirit. Again, we laid the foundation of the fruit of the Spirit. We get into the gifts of the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, it says this. It says, now there are distinctive gifts, there are distinctive varieties and distributions of endowments, that is, gifts or extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians due to the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And we talked about that, right? We talked about divine grace. What sets some apart and what gifts they operate is that divine grace, their revelation of that divine grace operating in their souls. And then we learned that there were 9 varieties or distributions of these gifts. And let me just recap them in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11 here. It says, but each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit, the evidence of the Spirit, the evidence. For good and profit. To one is given in and through the Holy Spirit the power to speak a message of wisdom. And wisdom is what we're going to be talking about today, if Lord willing, if I can get to it. And to another, the power to express a word of knowledge and understanding according to the same Holy Spirit. To another, wonder-working faith by the same Holy Spirit. To another, extraordinary powers of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophetic insight, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose. To another, the ability to discern and distinguish between the utterances of true spirits and false ones. To another, various kinds of unknown tongues. To another, the ability to interpret such tongues. All these gifts, these achievements, these abilities are inspired and brought to pass by one and the same Holy Spirit who apportions to each person individually exactly as He chooses. And I know I blew through that. This is just review, okay? And we talked about how there are 3 categories. These are not God's categories. This is what man has put in place just to help us, I think, just like the verses in the Bible to help us. 3 categories of the gifts are the revelation gifts, the power gifts, and the utterance gifts. Those revelation gifts are the message of wisdom, message of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The power gifts are the healing gift, the working of miracles, and the gift of faith. And the utterance gifts are the gifts of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and the gift of prophecy. Now we all have access to these gifts through the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay, individuals are distinguished in how they operate in these gifts, but it does not exclude someone else from operating in that gift, if I could put it that way. All right? we all have access. But by the divine grace operating in our souls, we operate in those things. Can I say it at different levels? I don't know if that's a good word to say, but it is due to the power of the divine grace operating in our souls. So listen, he has equipped us to successfully operate in the gifts that he has provided. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is, remember I said, I think last week, he has provided everything that you have need of to be successful. Yes. He has provided everything that you have need of to be successful. And these are gifts, right? How many know a gift is not earned? A gift is given, right? You can't earn your salvation. You can't earn the gifts of the Spirit. It's not like a badge you get. How many ever was in, Boy Scouts is not a good... Royal Rangers. How many were in Royal Rangers? Remember Royal Rangers. And, you know, you'd have different levels of things that you would accomplish. You learn how to build a fire with no matches, and you get a badge for that. Or, you know, you learn how to, I don't know what, they'd chop trees down with an axe, and you get a badge for that. And then, you know, they send you off in the woods for a week without any food or water. And if you make it home, you get a badge for that. You know, so, woo, hey, I got the badge. I lived in the wilderness for a week and I got a badge. All I got was this beautiful badge. But listen, they're not earned, right? They're not earned like that. The gifts of the Spirit are not earned, or they don't have requirements. It's not a quid pro quo. It's not a this, you do this for me and you get this. That's not how it works. It's not like a favor or an advantage granted or expected in return for something. How many, you don't... Yes, I will. You don't give your spouse flowers expecting something in return. I knew some of y'all. That's why I hesitated to share that. Because in our natural mind, we're like, yes, I am expecting something in return for them flowers, them beautiful flowers. No, listen. It's gifts. We give gifts without any expectation of something in return. Why does he give us these gifts? Let's get back to the Holy Spirit. Why does he give us these gifts? To equip us. To equip us. But like, I'm not gonna give a 5-year-old a nail gun and tell him to go out and frame up a house. I'm just, you know, you're not gonna do that. I can give him the nail gun. He can have the nail gun. He's got the tools that he needs to do the job, but he doesn't have the wherewithal to do it. He doesn't have the training to do it. He doesn't understand some things. He may be equipped and have all the tools, but he's not trained and developed the skills necessary. What does the word say? Train up a child in the way they should go. Why does it say that? Because it's not... When we get born again and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell on the inside of us, I believe we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We have access to everything the Holy Spirit has for us. I believe that. But just as you need to train up a child in the way they should go, why does it say that? Because they don't understand everything at that moment in time. So I believe it's similar with these gifts of the Spirit. You know, we need, and I hesitate to say train, but we need to get revelation, maybe is a better word, or understand through the Word the operation of these gifts. They've been provided and given, but it doesn't mean we operate in them proficiently. Maybe I could say it like that. So how do we get proficient? Turn over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timmy. I'm getting there. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 says this out of the Amplified. It says, study Study. We don't like to hear that word. Levi's not here. I can talk about him. He don't like to hear that word, study. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial. Tested by trial. A workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, that is, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. We must study. The word says in another place, study to show yourself approved. We must study these things. Study the word of God. Study about the gifts. See how they were in operation in the word and start to become proficient in these things. So today I want to talk, starting in with the revelation gifts. And I want to start today with the word of wisdom. And listen, this is not a... You're going to have to get in the word. You're going to have to get in the word and seek these things out for yourself. You're going to have to. I just want to stir something up in you, I pray, that will give you a wet your whistle. I want to wet your whistle today. Wet your whistle for things of God, the gifts of the Spirit, and today the word of wisdom and how it works. The Greek word is Sophia. Rich, you named your child Wisdom. There was much wisdom in naming her Wisdom. I think there's something to names. I really do. I know that the trend for finding kids' names is, you know, you look at a book and that's kind of a cute name. But I really think, I think it can be cute too, but I think we should look at the meaning behind the name, what it's rooted in. And I mean, that's biblical. That's scriptural. I mean, people did that. And so Sophia is the word, the Greek word for this word of wisdom. In the context of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, which we shared, it means to speak to the life of an individual or to a specific situation with great understanding and a righteous perspective, with the goal of guiding them. Let me say that again. This is the context of what we're talking about with the gift of spirit and the word of wisdom. It says it means to speak to the life of an individual or to a specific situation with great understanding and a righteous perspective, with the goal of guiding them. Literally, it means clear or clarity. Clear or clarity. That is to gain clarity. We could say it that way. We see a biblical example of this. Turn to Acts chapter 21 in this with a word of wisdom. Baby, could I have that one of those waters, please? I'm getting a little scratchy. Thank you, dear. Thanks. Acts chapter 21. Let's look at verses 8 through 13. 21. And let me read this out of the Amplified. Is that where I'm at? Where am I? 21. Yes, 21, 8 through 13. It says, on the morrow we left there and came to Caesarea, and we went into the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven first deacons, and stayed with him. And he had four maiden daughters who had the gift of prophecy. While we were remaining there for some time, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And he had... prophet from Agabus came down from Judea, and coming to see us, he took Paul's belt and with it bound his own feet and hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, the Jews at Jerusalem shall bind like this the man who owns this belt. Whose belt was it? Paul's. And they shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles or heathen. When we heard this, both we and the residents of that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Why? Because they didn't want to see him bound like that. Then Paul replied, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart like this? For I hold myself in readiness not to only be arrested and bound and imprisoned at Jerusalem, but also even to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. Agabus was operating, I believe, in this gift of a word of wisdom for Paul. He was bringing further clarity to Paul of what would befall him if he continued to Jerusalem. And I say further clarity because Paul already knew that he was to suffer, but he didn't know exactly how. If you turn back to Acts 20, verses 22 through 24, just one page back, out of the Amplified, it says, "And now you see, I'm going to Jerusalem, bound by the Holy Spirit and obligated and compelled by the convictions of my own spirit, not knowing what will befall me there." He didn't know what would befall him there. "Except that the Holy Spirit," verse 23, "clearly and emphatically affirms to me in the city after city that imprisonment and suffering await me. But none of these things move me, neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained, from which was entrusted to me by the Lord Jesus, faithfully to attest to the good news, the gospel of God's grace, his unmerited favor, spiritual blessing, and mercy." Amen. So he knew that something was happening to him, but he didn't know exactly what. He knew some of the picture. But Agabus's word shed even more details. That was a word of wisdom that came forth to Paul. Why was that word of wisdom necessary for Paul? Or why do we get some of these words of wisdom? Well, they can prepare us for things to come. That is one of the reasons why they can prepare us for things to come. Or show us how we ought to pray. You know, Wanda talks all the time about going out ahead in prayer. You know, when we receive a word of wisdom about something, Paul in this case, he could go out ahead in prayer. He was prepared to lose his life for Jesus. He was prepared for that. But maybe it shed light on him how to pray for the other believers that were around him. You know, they didn't want him to go. They said, no, they were begging him, crying, pleading. But with the word of wisdom, he could pray, he could prepare them for what he was about to go through. So we can go out ahead in prayer of a thing and bring clarity. Remember that it means clear, clarity to something. In Paul's case, it was preparing him because he had declared himself. He was not only ready to be bound and suffer for Christ, but even die if necessary. So a word of wisdom can bring that clarity. It can show us something that lies ahead. It can warn us. It can be a warning to us. You know, just because, and let me clarify this. Because maybe some of y'all have experienced this in here, and I know I have. Just because a word is spoken over you, I don't believe that is... Let me put this correctly. Just because a word is spoken over you does not set it in stone. You have the power to change your situation, your circumstance. Let me give you an example. I think this is a true world example, and I believe that it fits here. If you were raised in a household where you were constantly told all your life that you were worthless, that you would never amount to anything, that you could never do anything good, that you're not going to be anything, you don't have to accept that word. You can change that outcome. You can change that outcome. So that was just a sidebar. It's not set in stone. You have the power to change that. So a word of wisdom can bring clarity. It can show us something that lies ahead. It can warn us. It can prepare us. Or it can give us direction to pray in for clarity. But it can also encourage us and create an expectation in us. Let me give you an example from my own life. You know, I came here. This beautiful girl invited me to come to church with her. And I reluctantly said yes in the moment. But back in 1995. And I had, you know, let me try to capsule this. I don't want to go too far back. I had been to church before, you know, been to a Methodist church with my family when I was young, real young, real young, but hadn't been to church, was not serving God, probably was not, yes, I was not born again. Heathen, just a little bit of heathen in me. But when I came in 1995, I got born again, started serving the Lord, and I remember coming through those doors one day, and I actually had a suit on. I know y'all can't believe I wear suits, but I used to wear suits because I was in sales and I had to wear suits, so I had suits. But I came in the door through, and y'all have heard some of this before, but came through the door, and Henrietta, God love her, and what was her last name? Is it Logan, yes, I always forget her last name. Henrietta greeted me right there in the middle of the aisle, and I hadn't been coming but a couple times maybe, and a few times, and she said to me, she said, "Are you a pastor? Just born again. Didn't know my, you know, nothing about nothing." She said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Well, no." "No, I am far from a pastor." But you know what? And I take this as an example. I believe that she was speaking forth a word of wisdom. She may not have, it may not have been intentional on her part. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, gave her something to say to me. And she said, "Are you a..." And that sparked something in me. I'm telling you, it sparked something in me. Something that I had not even thought to be on the radar in my life because of where I'd been and what I had done. But that sparked something in me. That word, it created an expectation in me. Created an expectation. And it never left me. That word never left me. I mean, the Holy Spirit, I know, would bring it up before me from time to time. Because that was back in 1995, and I didn't start pastoring until 2009. But that word never left me. It stayed. And I know there are people in here that you've had a word spoken to you, and it's been a long season since it was spoken. But the Holy Spirit won't let you let go of it. I'm telling you, that is a key, right? If you can't let go of it, if it keeps coming up to you, rising up on the inside of you from time to time, I don't care if it's been 10, 20, 30 years, but if it keeps rising up on, I'm telling you, that was a word of wisdom that was spoken in your life. And I believe it will come to fruition. Or, or you can change it. If it was something... I mean, a word of warning can be strong. And, let me give you an example from the Bible. I mean, the angel, I believe it was an angel of the Lord, came to Hezekiah and said, "Your life is going to be required of you this night." But he prayed, believed, and was granted an extension on, I think it was 15 years. On his life. So a word came to him, but he didn't accept that word. And he changed the outcome, extended his life by 15 years. So even when a word comes, a word of warning, and I know that I've never known anybody personally that has experienced this, but I've heard a relay of the story of, you know, where someone was given a word that death was going to come. But they changed the outcome of that. Just like Hezekiah. They changed the outcome of that. So when that word comes, we have that ability. We have that power to change it. And we also have the power to see it come to fruition in our life. And I believe that's what happened to me. When Henrietta shared that word, in the natural, it didn't make sense to me. There was no way. No way. But But here I stand as a result of that expectation just rising up on the inside of me because of that word that was spoken. I believe this happens more than we realize. I believe that if you will have ears to hear, you will hear this, and it happens more than we realize. And I believe that we all, just like Henrietta, I don't know that she, again, intentionally had an intention to do that day, but she spoke it out of her. She spoke it out of her spirit, man, I believe. And we all have that ability, and I believe it happens more than you think it does, but we need to be attentive. We need to hear. We need to understand. We need to have ears to hear. Jesus was constantly given his disciple words of wisdom. But you know what? They didn't hear it. Remember, how many times would he say something and then have to go back and explain it to them? Right? Especially about his death. He was trying to tell them, you know, this is what's going to happen, y'all. And they weren't having it. They didn't hear it. They didn't have ears to hear. But he was trying to prepare them. He was trying to prepare them. So if we have ears to hear, not only will we receive encouragement from words of wisdom others are speaking to us, but I believe we'll hear words of wisdom to share with others as well. And that's the body of Christ in operation. That's iron sharpening iron. That's that giving and receiving. You know, receive a word from someone, you give a word to someone. Excuse me. Man, that's going to be on tape. So words of warning or encouragement. And listen, this word, I don't want you to think that it can only come from the source of a man. If you're born again, we all have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. And we all understand, if you've been in the Word or been here at any time, it's that small, still voice that leads us. The Holy Spirit can drop a word of wisdom right on the inside of you. In fact, I would probably venture to say it happens more often that way than someone, a person, sharing a word of wisdom with you. I would have to venture to say that. So as you have ears to hear, the Holy Spirit can drop a word of wisdom right, download it right into you. And in fact, if you'll listen, he will give you words to share with other people as well. To encourage them, to warn them, to share with them. So that was our introduction to the first gift of the Spirit, which is a revelation gift, a word of wisdom. I hope that it has stirred you up. Because again, when I set out to share about the gifts of the Spirit, my hope is to create an expectancy in you to have real world examples of how we can go out and share the gospel. Right? It's just another tool. It's just another tool to put in your tool shed, to put in your bag, to pull out when in need to change someone's life, to impact their life for the gospel's sake. Because it all comes back to that ministry of reconciliation where we are trying to reconcile a lost and dying world to their Savior. Amen? And if we can use these gifts of the Spirit to do that, praise God. I'm not saying it's the only way, obviously, but it is a way. And I want us to be encouraged in that. And not only that, because when we get to the power gifts, man, I will still stand by my word and say that, how many believe that there is a great harvest coming into the kingdom of God? I have said ever since I can remember, early on when I got born again, I have said that the signs and wonders just as in Jesus' day, that drew the people in are going to draw the people in to the kingdom of God again. I believe that in these last days. I believe we're going to see that. I believe that. And I keep putting it before you. CGC being an epicenter of something that is going to send shockwaves out into this community. Let's keep that before us. And you were all a part of that. You were all a part of that. And we need every single person and every gift in each person to see that happen, I believe. And so I'm going to continue to stir you up, to encourage you, because I want to see lives changed. I want to see this community impacted. I do. I hope you do too. I really do. I sincerely hope that you do too. You want to see change. Let's not just settle for status quo, you know, just same old, same old. Let's not. Let's not settle for that. Let's desire more. Let's expect more. And be part of the more. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray that it has encouraged everyone in here under the sound of my voice and watching online. I thank you that, Father, that we entrust you to be led by your Holy Spirit to understand truth, that you would guide us in these things, that we're not out here just operating willy-nilly, I don't know, Lord, just we believe and trust in you and your word. And we thank you that you are changing lives all over this nation, this world. You are drawing men unto you, and men I mean by species, you are drawing them unto you, and they are coming from the north, south, east, and west, all over this planet, seeking out you. And so let us be an ambassador, a representative of Christ in this earth. And Lord, I just pray for anyone that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior this day. Let today be the day of your salvation. Let you make that decision today, just like I did back those years ago in 1995, when I was offered an invitation to receive Christ. I said yes. I pray that there's someone listening to this, watching this, that would say yes today. Yes to Jesus. Yes, I want to know more about the things that you're talking about. I want to understand better, with more clarity, the things that you're discussing. And if you do that, the Holy Spirit will come and indwell you and show you things, lead and guide you to all the truth. And so, Lord, I thank you for that soul today. I thank you for that soul that said yes to you. We pray for that individual. We pray for them that they would seek out like-minded believers, a house of faith somewhere that will teach the word, that they will get rooted and grounded in the word of God, and that they know today their eternal destination changed. From an eternity in torment and pain and anguish to an eternity with our Lord and Savior. Thank you for that person. Thank you for that person. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.